Welcome to the Rising Sisters podcast. I'm your host, Sophia Demetra, and we're here to talk about all things that sisters should, from manifesting to business and business to self-pleasure. There is nothing that we can't talk about. Chat soon. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to episode 6 of the Rising Sisters podcast. I'm your host, Sophia Demetra, and it is so great to be here with you all today. It is actually Wednesday, the 4th of November, as I'm recording this, which means the day that you will be listening to this, most likely, the day I'm uploading, is also the same day that I'm recording, which usually is not the case. But it's been a bit of a couple of days, and it's just really coming up, and it's something that I'm going to go into a little bit in this episode, but basically where I'm kind of at in my life, I'm on day 32 of my menstrual cycle. So that's kind of where I'm at. And if you kind of get what I'm saying, that means I'm heading into my inner winter. I'm heading into the menstruation part of my cycle, my bleed, my moon, whatever you call her, your period. That's kind of, where I'm at the moment. And yeah, the last couple of days I have been hella emotional, I've been a bit of a water fountain. I could just cry over the most random things, from cute little posts on Facebook to I don't even know, just kale. Oh my god, the other night, so funny, I literally just cooked kale dinner because I'm currently doing my own challenge at gym and got my own meal plan, but anyways, cooking him dinner, and I made him this cauliflower and broccoli bake, and usually it's meant to be nice and creamy, but for some reason it actually turned out quite runny. Anyways, I already knew this, I put it in the oven anyways, I was just it's still edible, it's still gonna taste delicious, it's just a little bit runny. Anyways, he pulls it out of the oven and he goes to dish it onto his plate. And he goes, "Oh, babe, this is a little bit runny." Ooh, boy, that is not the right thing to say to me right now. I fully turned around and I was just like, "And? What do you mean? Who cares?" Oh, I literally started to cry. I was just like, fuck, give me a break. I just felt like the whole world was against me, but in reality, it was really just the smallest thing, and he did not say it in a rude way at all. It was just babe, this is a bit runny. He was actually just a bit concerned, if it had maybe gone runny in the oven or something. But yes, anyways, it was all well and perfect. We actually had a bit of a, or I had a, I continued my bit of a meltdown, and then he came and sucked up to me in bed and apologized, which was so beautiful of him. He's such a beautiful man. I also felt really bad, and I was like, sorry. This is where I'm at in my cycle right now. Bear with me for a moment. So yeah, it's been a bit funny. And then yesterday I was just feeling, I woke up so, so cold. I totally understand the whole inner winter feel. My body was just so cold, even though it was 25 degrees outside, and I started to really come inwards. My body, I literally wore my robe all day. I've got this gorgeous fluffy robe. I literally just sat in it all day, just really mothering myself, really holding myself, and just keeping myself warm. And it was a interesting day, to say the least. I went through a roller coaster of emotions, as you do, but for the majority, I was really going inwards. I was switching off my phone. I was, being antisocial, and I actually really zoned in on my own mentorship and my business. And so I just sat at my computer basically all day. But yeah, even when it came to food, I've been craving more hot foods, more warm foods, because if you didn't actually already know this, and this is quite new to me as well, I've only just started learning about our inner seasons in the last 3 months, because, and I'll just mention this in case you don't know what I'm talking about, is that an actual year, right? We have summer, we have winter, autumn, spring, our bodies actually go through the four seasons on a monthly basis. So your menstruation, your bleed, your period, that's your inner winter, okay? And straight after your inner winter, you've got your inner spring, which is the most beautiful time. You finish your period, you wake up, you're feeling so fantastic, like you can conquer the world, feeling so fresh, of course, right? Because you've just done all this purging, you've just released so much energy, so much negative, toxic energy, I should say. And, you know, you're feeling fresh, you're feeling fantastic, craving all those spring foods, like everything cold. And then, of course, you then go into your ovulation, which is your inner summer. And ironically, right, like your inner summer is that time where you're feeling really hot, you're feeling really sexy, really horny. And of course, right, like this is your inner summer, this is your time that you're ovulating, which isn't exactly great if you're trying not to have babies. Because, yeah, if you're like me, then I know that when I go into my inner summer, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so horny. I need kill. I need just, you know, my pleasure ones. I'm just like, give me everything. Like, I'm so ready to just like pounce right now. However, I am very mindful, and especially right now, I actually stay away from kill in my couple of days of ovulation, because yeah, I don't want to get pregnant right now, basically. So little tip for you, if you're in your inner summer, do your best to, yeah, stay away or use protection. But at the end of the day, yeah, things can still happen. And then of course, after your inner summer, you've got your inner autumn, and that's that time where you start to unwind, you start to come more into your body, and your body starts to get ready to go into your inner winter, which again, come full circle, that is your period. So yeah, that's a little bit of info for you. Like, I'd love to know, like, let me know, I don't know, send me a message on Instagram, or if you listen to this podcast and you're gaining some form of value, then yeah, send or like screenshot this podcast episode, share it on your Instagram story, and let me know like what value you've gained out of this. I mean, of course, I'm not qualified to talk about, you know, your menstrual cycle, like what you should and shouldn't do, and I'm not qualified about the fertility awareness method either, but what I can give you is just words of my advice. And if you do take anything on board, then that's, you know, you choose to do that, yeah? So anyways, I just wanted to put that little disclaimer in there, because like, yeah, I'm not qualified. It's just all simply based on my own experience, which I've actually spent thousands of dollars on. So I do know a thing or two. But anyways, yes, so that's where I'm at the moment, eagerly waiting on my period to come. I just love, like, this sounds so crazy to say out loud, and you know, it's even crazy to be talking about this on a podcast episode, because I feel like even though a lot of people are waking up in the world, there is still a lot of things that are classed as taboo, you know, quote unquote. I'm doing the whole fingers thing, taboo, right? Like, people are so ashamed to talk about these things, whether it's, you know, whether it is our period, whether it is our sore boobs, whether it is, you know, the fluids that's coming out of our body, you know, what else is classed as taboo? Oh my God, like self-pleasure, even just sex with a male, or, you know, if you're, I don't know the actual, it's not heterosexual, oh, I don't know. Look, I'm not the smartest fish in the pond, but you get what I'm saying. Like, if you're into girls, you're a girl. If you're into boys and you're a boy, like, whichever, whatever. I mean, I guess we're all sisters in this space. So either way, sex in general and self-pleasure, they're as well taboo subjects to talk about, right? But it's like, why? We all shit, we all piss. If we're women, majority of us should be bleeding. I mean, you know, my heart goes out to those women that can't bleed, you know? So that's what I'm saying. It's such a gift to be able to have a bleed. So kind of going a little bit off track as to what I was just talking about, but growing up, you know, I was so ashamed to have or to be a woman, I should actually say, the moment I hit puberty, right, the moment I got my period and my body started to shift, you know, I was so ashamed of being a woman, to have this period, to have my boobs grow bigger, to have hips, you know. I love my parents so, so much. I love my family. I loved all the people that I grew up around. However, in saying that, how they were taught, I don't exactly agree with. So how they were taught is, of course, how I was taught. So growing up, when I got my period, when I started to hit puberty and start to grow and mature and all these things, there was a lot of spotlight on me, and not in a great way. And when I say that, I mean, you know, there was always comments like, oh, you know, your hips are growing, or, you know, you're gonna need bras. And like, I don't know, it was just a really uncomfortable time in my life. You know, I felt really out of place, which is so crazy because, you know, all my aunts, my mom, like everyone was a woman. My cousins had actually gotten their periods before me. They were already wearing bras before me. Yet I felt so ashamed in my own body. And it really was because of how people made me feel that were around me, if that makes sense. So yeah, you know, I always carried this shame around being a woman. And growing up, you know, the more I was growing up, I actually started to love my body more. I did start to love my hips. I started to love my boobs. But my period, I still did not like. And my periods, my gosh, from the moment I got my periods growing up, they were always irregular, extremely, extremely painful. I always felt like there was something wrong. But when I told my mom, like, she didn't believe me because she just, unfortunately, she wasn't aware of these things. She wasn't aware that there could ever be problems, which is so bizarre, like, for me to say out loud, because I mean, nowadays it's so common for women to have issues and things like this. But yeah, so I struggled and I kind of stayed in the closet in a lot of pain for a lot of years of my childhood, until I turned 18. And as soon as I turned 18, I was still a virgin. I still hadn't slept with my partner then. And before I also wanted to start having sex, I wanted to make sure that, you know, I wasn't going to get pregnant. So anyways, took myself to the doctors just because I had heard from other friends and word of mouth that if I got on the pill, you know, this magic pill, I could stop my periods if I want to. I could skip having a period. My period pains would ease and all of these things, right? So for me, oh, and of course, like, I wouldn't get pregnant, yeah? So off I went to the doctors and I got myself on the pill, and no word of a lie, I was so happy at that time. I was like, fuck yes, I don't have to bleed. I can enjoy having sex. I can do all of these amazing things. Like, I don't have to worry about a period. And yeah, all of these things I'll just never forget. And yeah, unfortunately, that was my reality for a few years. I really didn't like having a period, and yeah, I was just so happy without it. But in the grand scheme of things, I was then having all of these other issues, which, yeah, again, this makes no sense, but surprisingly, I was having all these issues which I had no idea were related to my hormonal contraception, because every time I went to the doctors, they would just get me onto a different pill or whatever. But I was having constant yeast infections. My hormones were crazy. What else? Yeah, I feel like that was basically it. But if you've ever had a yeast infection or you've had thrush, then you know that that is like, it's hell. It is not fun. It is so painful. And I was continuously getting these, and it was really uncomfortable. And that itself also, you know, had affected my mental health. I was starting to feel very, oh my gosh, you guys, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, I was feeling very, like, you know, ashamed of myself. I was feeling very self-conscious. That's the word, self-conscious. And Yeah, I mean, especially like having sex, like, thank God I had a very supportive boyfriend. Like, Kill and I, we've been together for, wow, nearly 5 years. So he's been through with me through this whole journey. But yeah, like, it was hard, you know, mentally. I wanted to be able to give pleasure and receive pleasure, but for a lot of time, I actually couldn't because I was dealing with these yeast infections. So yeah, it was mentally so stressful as well, and it really did start to take a toll on our relationship at times because, you know, as soon as we thought things were getting better, it would just appear again. And oh, I will never forget how horrible those times were. But yeah, like I said, every single time I went to doctors, my gosh, I went to more doctors than I can count on my two hands. I tried like five different pills, and then or four or five different pills, and then it got to a point where I was like, oh my God, it has to be the pills. Like, my body must not agree with the pills because I've never had this issue before. And anyways, I finally found one doctor, and she said to me, she said, Soph, like, you know, of course the pill is probably disagreeing with your body. And I was like, are you fucking shitting me? Like, why is it that I've been to so many other doctors and no one could tell me anything else? Every single time, it would be a 5 minute doctor appointment and doctors would just tell me, just jump on another pill. Try this one instead, right? Like, no one was actually wanting to help me. Anyway, so I met this doctor. She was so beautiful. And she said to me, she said, you know, it sounds like you've got endometriosis, you know, with all your symptoms, everything you're going through. She said, but of course we can't. I'm so great for my words today. She said, oh yeah, that's it. We can't fully diagnose you unless you do a laparoscopy, which is when they cut you open and they stick the little camera inside you and they see the endo. Anyways, the wait list for that was like a year, unless of course you were in extreme pains and then they would just push you up the wait list. But at that time, you know, I felt like I could have had something like that, but my mind was just like, no, like, don't do it. There is nothing wrong with you. Even though my stomach was kind of like, so if like something doesn't seem right, my mind was still like, girlfriend, just you're young, just like wait, like let's just hold on for a minute. All right, so I ended up starting the injections, which is, I can't remember the exact name for them, but it's when they basically put the needle in your arm, the chemicals are in you for like 3 months, and that is meant to stop your periods. Or at least for me, that's what the intention was going to be. Everyone's bodies are different, so of course they all react differently as well. But anyways, I got the injection, and for 6 weeks, my first 6 weeks, I had no bleeding. I was like, yay, there was no thrush. I was like, oh, this is so fantastic. Oh no. After 6 weeks, I then spent the remaining of that 3 months constantly bleeding. Okay, that was not fun. That was extremely draining. I was always so lethargic. It was not pretty. And my God, my hormones, I have never felt more anxious in my life. Anyway, so I went back to my amazing doctor and I said, sister, like, this is not helping me either. Like, what can I do? And she said, oh, she said, you know, usually it takes like a couple of rounds for your body to adjust. So she said, let's do another round, another 3 months, and let's see how you feel, okay? Okay. So I did it again for another 3 months. My bleeding did not stop. My anxiety was worse than ever. My relationship was on eggshells because I was like a freaking emotional mess. My job was, at that time, I was working in a call center. It was just a messy time. Oh my gosh. It was just fucked. It was well and truly fucked. And the worst thing was about the injection was that once it's in your body, you can't get it out, right? So I had to fucking ride the wave, and it was a long, long wave. a very emotional time in my life, emotional years, because mind you, like I said, like this is going on to years, okay? This is years of having these issues. So then eventually my doctor, oh my God, after all these months, my doctor then says to me, all right, the last option we can do is you either, so she showed me this little diagram, It was like, imagine in your head a triangle, okay, like a pyramid. You know, we've all seen those food pyramids, right? So imagine a pyramid and you've got at the bottom is like all your pills, and then the middle layer is your injections, and then at the very top layer, equal parts, is the Mirena or the, I always forget the bar, but the bar that goes into your arm, I think it's called the Implanon. Yeah, can't remember because I haven't had it. But yeah, so basically it was either I stick a rod in my uterus or in my arm. And either way, they were going to do what I was told, the same thing. I did not want to put the bar in my arm. I've seen so many of my friends get the bar, and my sister-in-law's. I've seen one of my sister-in-law's get that bar in her arm, and it was just a shit show. Just so many issues. Oh, even my girlfriend, Holly, big shout out to you, my sister. She is currently got the bar in her arm, and my poor sister, you know, she's been trying to get the bar out of her arm recently, and she's been having troubles with that as well. So yeah, I knew back then, I was like, I'm not getting the bar in my arm. And I hadn't heard anything about the Mirena, so I was like, okay, let's just do this. How bad can it be? So she showed me what it was. It was the smallest little thing, and she was like, yeah, it's a super, super quick and easy procedure. It'll take 5 minutes. I'll just open you up with a clamp, and I'll just pop it in there. All right, so I said, fuck it. I've tried everything. I don't want to have periods. I don't want to be in pain. Let's just do it, okay? So off I went to the doctors, and I went and got the Mirena inserted. And I remember her saying, she did say to me, she said, it might cause you a little bit of pain, so make sure you don't drive yourself. So anyways, Kiel's working that day. I had my mom take me to the doctors, and what can I say? It was the most painful, excruciating, like it was the worst time of my life. Like, I'm not even kidding. I actually had what is like backwards contractions. So for anyone that's listening that has ever had kids, I mean, I haven't had kids, but this is what the doctors said to me after I explained how I was feeling. So I was having backwards contractions. So my understanding is that when you go into labor, your contractions intense over time, they start getting closer and closer more intensely. So the minute my Mirena was in my uterus, I started to get instant contractions that were extremely close. They're like a second apart, extremely intense, and I could barely walk. I was screaming, crying, swearing, you name it, and it was so horrible. I had to like walk through a freaking doctor's waiting room where everyone was sitting, and I could barely walk. Like, it was such a mess. But anyways, so I had these backwards contractions, and they lasted me like 3 hours. My mum brought me home. I was crying, and I was like fully bent over, and I was like literally walking around my parents' house, and I had, like I said, I was bent over, hand on my back, like on my hips, and I was just walking around trying to ease the pain. And so over time, rather than these contractions, these cramps getting more and more intense, they were becoming less intense. So yes, thank God they were going backwards, and they were just getting less and less intense. But it took about 3 hours for them to calm down. But so it was not a good experience getting the Mirena inserted. And now looking back on it, wow, my poor womb, my poor yoni, my poor uterus, like it was really, really rejecting. And It was like it was its cry for help. It was like so like, don't do this. Like, you know, it's not right. But unfortunately, I had to go through all of these things to get to where I am today and to have all of this knowledge and awareness. So anyways, I had the marina for about a year. Was it a year? Could have been 2 years. Wow, my mind this morning is just not fully with it. But anyways, I had the marina for, a couple of years, I think. And from what I thought was great. I thought that, you know, I had no periods. It was perfect. I thought my hormones were just pretty placid. However, in saying that, I was always really dry and honestly did not have much of a sex drive. Anyways, again, this sounds so crazy, but the reason I was so unaware is because there isn't a lot of people talking about it, right? Like, if what I know now, I knew years ago, and I knew every time I was trying different contraceptions, then I probably wouldn't have gone through all of this stress and all of this struggle. But anyways, like I said, it's fine because now I've got all the awareness that I can share with other sisters and help other sisters as much as I can without being qualified, of course. So it wasn't until this year when I started working with a spiritual healer, my beautiful sister Adelina. We did a lot of awakening, a lot of womb work, a lot of waking up to a lot of things, and really coming to this whole new world of appreciation for my womb and for my yoni and for my bleed and for my feminine body. Like, I've never felt so much more in love with my feminine body and her magic than now than ever. And I'm so, so grateful for that. I truly think it's such a blessing to be so connected to my womb and to my yoni. Yeah, it's just something that I want all women to be able to have. But as you can see, that's not always been the case. So I got working with my healer and, you know, she didn't force me to get the marina out, but she taught me, she really showed me a lot, she taught me a lot of what's missing in society and what, you know, people really try to push on us. And of course, imagine how much money those pharmaceutical companies are making from all our contraception, right? And, you know, like I said, I'm not qualified, but I just want to share with you that there is other ways. You know, if you're trying to avoid getting pregnant, which most of the time a lot of women my age are, that's the reason why we are using hormonal contraception, then there is other ways. You can even look it up. There are so many books, so many podcasts as well. I'll actually, if you want, in the show notes, I will put some of the podcasts below that I have learned so much from, and also a couple of books that I strongly recommend that have all the information that we need to be able to track our cycles. And it's called the Fertility Awareness Method, FAM. And you can use that to not only, you know, track and avoid getting pregnant, but you can also use that if you are wanting to get pregnant, because what it allows you to do is get so in tune with your body, and it allows you to understand when you're ovulating and when you're not ovulating, when you're fertile, non-fertile, etc., which is super, super powerful. Because how many of us actually know when we're fertile and when we're not fertile? I had no idea until recently. Like crickets, right? How do we not know this stuff? This shit is, I mean, it's not shit, but you get what I mean. This stuff is so important. I truly believe this is what should be taught in school, not just if you've got your period, go get on contraception. Like, no. If you've got your period, like, celebrate that and start to learn more about your body. Feel so connected to your womb and your yoni that you can speak to her. You know when she's feeling good. You know when she needs more nutrients. You know when she needs more rest. It is so powerful to know this stuff, you guys. And Yeah, I'm sure some of you might think this is a bit woo-woo, but this is my opinion and that is all well and perfect. But yeah, so anyways, come this year, I chose, you know, after I'd done so much awakening in my womb, I just, everything started to make sense. And I was like, you know what? The reason why I haven't had much of a sex drive and I've been dry this year is because of my marina. So even though I thought my marina was going great, it was still causing me issues without me actually realizing. I had no libido. Like, of course, makes so much sense. Anyways, so I went and got my marina out and it was an interesting experience. I remember being so scared. Kiel was right there with me. I went into the doctor's office, my same beautiful doctor that put the marina in me. She was a lovely lady, really supportive of me and my decision. I went in and she was lovely as well. She actually let Kiel come in. He sat right by my side as I got the marina taken out, held my hand. And I remember just, I was so scared because, of course, my insertion was extremely painful. So naturally, I was like, oh my God, I'm so scared of getting this out. But I remember my healer, she said to me, "Soph, you have done so much healing in your womb space. Your womb is going to be completely different. You're so much more in tune, so much more in sync with her now. Like, it's going to be okay. Like, everything that's been in your past is in your past. And this is a new chapter." So that's, I kept trying to remind myself that. I said, no, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be regular. It's going to be perfect. Anyways, so the doctor said, she said, give me like one big cough. And I gave her a big cough and I didn't feel anything, but all of a sudden my body just started to cry. I just started to cry. And she said, are you okay? She's like, it's out. Like, it's just coming out. Did you feel it? Like, did I hurt you? And I was like, no. I said, like, I just feel so happy. Like, it was just tears of joy. Like, it was like this whole new rebirthing of myself and my feminine body. It was just so beautiful. And yeah, it was just such a blessing to just experience that. And I was like, so thankful to be where I am today and to have all this knowledge and this awareness because I didn't have to suffer anymore. And so, yeah, that's where I've been the last couple of months. I have been doing the fertility awareness method. I did start working with a fam coach who has been amazing as well. Learning more about, you know, how to track my cycles, how to track my fluids, because of course our fluids are different throughout our cycle. Checking our cervix. Now that is something that I've only just recently started to do. I guess I could say started to do. Because even like, yeah, to touch my cervix, I was like, oh, that's a little bit, for some reason I had this fear of touching my cervix. But it's actually, if you touch the tip of your nose, this is what my coach told me, if you touch the tip of your nose, that's exactly how your cervix feels. And so you can also learn where your cervix is at the time of your cycle. So of course, at the moment I can touch mine quite easily because it's very low. I'm getting ready to bleed, so I can touch it. Whereas throughout the rest of my cycle, you know, even like a week ago, I couldn't actually really touch my cervix no matter what position I tried to get in. So yeah, there's things like that. And then as well as that, you can also track your temperature, but, you know, go read up on it. There is so much information out there that you can basically teach yourself. Like, it is actually that easy to learn about the fertility awareness method and start implementing it. Like, it really is that simple. But of course, you know, if you are really trying to avoid getting pregnant, then, you know, you could also always go and get a fertility awareness coach and pay someone to help you. But yeah, so far, like, I mainly did self-teach before I didn't go and invest in a coach. And basically everything that I am learning with my amazing coach is just kind of just confirming everything that I had already learned from my podcast, or learning from podcasts that I've heard and from books that I've read. out of me. So yeah, it's been quite a journey, and the reason why I really wanted to share this whole story with you all today was that, pardon me, I have just got the burps like crazy today. But the reason why I wanted to share this with you all today is that so many of us, oh, every single woman I talk to has had issues because of hormonal contraception. And like I said earlier, it is not the only way, and you do not have to suffer. Instead, get more in touch with your body. It is such a beautiful thing to be able to do. And it's so empowering, like to know, like I said, to know when you're ovulating, to know all of these things about your body. It's just so powerful, because over years, you know, and I know this, that once upon a time, this is how people would try and get pregnant or would not try and get pregnant. They would track their cycles. But somewhere over time, the idea of tracking just completely went out of the window. And that's how, when pharmaceutical companies started to bring in all of these, you know, medicines and whatever, all these pills and contraceptions. And of course, they're just there to make money, right? Again, my opinion, you don't have to agree with me, but I'm valid to my own opinion. This is my podcast. But yeah, so I'm always here, sisters. If you ever do feel like you need to, if you want to know more information, if you want to know more about my journey, you know, I'm always here. My inbox is always open. I really don't want anyone to have to suffer. I want more women to feel empowered, to know their cycles, know their bodies, because yeah, it really is such a powerful thing. And if there's one thing that I've noticed within myself with tracking my cycles, is that I'm so much more confident in my body, in my own skin, and I have such a new respect and love for my body, because I just know everything that she's going through and I know how to support her. And it's like, once upon a time, I had all this shame around my body and who I was and what my body was doing. So it's definitely done quite a spin. It's definitely shifted. And yeah, if any of this relates to you and your own womb journey, then I would love to know. And if you get any value out of this episode, please let me know. But until next time, I'm so grateful if you stayed with me this long. Thank you so much. Yeah, this is really, I love having this space to be able to share my value with you all. And like I always say, if I can give value to at least one person and really help them get a better understanding or help them, you know, rise up and feel more empowered, then that brings me so much love and light. So thank you, thank you, thank you to you all. I'm so excited for next week's episode. I've got one of my gorgeous sisters joining me once again, and we're gonna get a little bit woo-woo. I'm so excited. This sister is very much so a big inspiration in my life. She teaches me so, so much on a daily basis, actually. So yeah, really looking forward to having her on next week. And until then, I love you all so, so much. Keep well, keep safe, and do you, boo. Whatever feels in alignment with you, do it, you know? All right. So much love to you all. Don't forget, if you listen to this podcast, let me know, screenshot it, share it on your stories. It all helps me so, so much. And until next time, I will talk to you all soon. Mwah!